Hi, this is April Wallace with the Democrat Gazette, here today to introduce you to Raquel and GT Thompson of Lovemore Records. They have a unique take on the music industry. GT is a longtime musician and music director who worked with well-known artists like The 17th Floor, Usher, and TLC. His daughter Raquel grew up in the business and became a DJ while sitting at his side. You might have seen her recently DJing electronic beats at Solana House during Format Festival in September. The two would like to see more Arkansan artists become well-known on the national stage, so they founded Lovemore Records together. Right now, they represent five artists, including Pura Coco, Bang, Little Ye, Head Cannon, and Sarah Lilly. When it comes to the first few artists they selected, they didn't discriminate with their music taste. It spans so far across many types of music like reggaeton, hyperpop, and alternative rap. That's a trend they hope to continue. I'll let you hear more from them. Here's the conversation we had the other day. All right, we are here today with Raquel and GT. Thank you guys so much for coming in today. I'm excited to learn about you guys and Lovemore Records. If you could start by saying your full name and your role in Lovemore Records.
Yeah, so hi, I'm Raquel Thompson. I am the CEO and founder of Lovemore Records.
Hey, I'm Greg GT Thompson. I am the, I guess, chief operating officer at Lovemore Records.
Gotcha. So tell me about your music label and how you got started, and why you wanted to create one in the first place.
Yeah, so I'll start out like the kind of the why situation. So I'm the kind of person that grew up in the music industry. I was around it since I was a literal baby because my father, he was a touring musician my whole life. So I was very exposed to the processes and how everything went from an early age. So I was also exposed to kind of the negative sides of the industry and how it can be very predatory. It can take advantage of people at times. It can kind of use people and not give them the advantages that they thought they were going to get at the beginning. So instead of like constantly complaining about it and noticing it and talking to my fellow artists about it, I was like, I kind of just want to do something about it and figure it out. So that's kind of where the why came from. So we started actually this month, last year. So mm-hmm. we're like a year old now.
Oh, congrats.
We officially launched last year in June. Through cash, through the Creative Exchange Fund, which we're super super grateful we got to be a part of. So that was kind of like the beginning and the why and all that cool stuff.
Okay, so you wanted to make a music label that would be better for the musicians.
Yes.
And artists involved.
Absolutely, we brand ourselves as being artist friendly. We have five artists currently, which is Bang, Pura Coco, Sarah Lilly, Little Ye, and Head Cannon, who are from Little Rock. And all of them are Arkansan based. So each of them, they have like full like involvement in their careers and where we go and what we do. We ask their opinions. We also super prioritize their mental health and their well-being. So if we see them freaking out on the side of the stage, we're like, hey, are you good? Do we need to like update things or figure things out? So that's kind of like what we're pushing for more in the music industry.
Okay. And GT, what did you want to come out of Lovemore Records?
Well, selfishly, Raquel is my daughter, so I know some people don't know that, which is odd, but
yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, well, like we would be hanging out.
Yeah, like
but, but yeah, so Raquel is my daughter, so I mean, I know that she's really passionate about music in general, and I've been in the industry for a long time, and some of those predatory things that she's seen in the past has been through the lens of, you know, my involvement with the industry. And so I want to see her develop this new thing for the industry. I want to see her create that. I want to support that and just be about the business of just totally blowing up the current music situation and the relationship between label and artists, coming up with something new. And it may not be for everybody, but for our specific artists, they're going to have an advantage because we have a partnership with them as more than a label artist situation. It's we're really partners all the way through.
Right. And so, if you don't mind, would you share some of those negative things that you saw in the industry before you created Lovemore Records that you knew you didn't want to replicate?
Well, I could tell you one thing wholeheartedly is just the lack of transparency when it comes to the finances is huge. I mean, that's probably the biggest thing in the industry is, you know, between that and the situation where they put you at a disadvantage by giving you these advances and these everything that's recoupable, because everything that they spend on you with a major label, you know, you got to give them back that money. And sometimes they don't say that. They just spend it. So all the music videos that they were doing, you know, in earlier years, you're paying for that. The cars, the rentals, everything, the clothes, the watches.
And a lot of the times, like, all your favorite artists who look super wealthy and super rich are actually broke. Like, they don't see a lot of that money at the end of the day.
Oh, wow.
Because it's going back to the label. So
I can see that being really misleading for an artist new to, you know, to the industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, again, but it's changing now. I mean, more artists are seeing doing the independent thing. Mm-hmm. But what's going on is it's now it's went to the complete opposite end of the spectrum where you have people saying, oh, you don't need a team. You can do everything all by yourself, and that's the way it should be. But that's just the opposite. I mean, you got it bad on both ends. So what Lovemore does is we meet right in the middle because we are functioning as an independent label, self-funded independent label. We currently don't have any, you know, additional funders or supporters or sponsors supporting what we're doing. We're hoping we get that this year just to pour gasoline on our fire. But, I mean, we're doing this. We're bootstrapping this thing. And so we want these artists to grow with us, and we want to create the story together. And we want to figure out exactly how to make this thing work.
Right.
So.
Very neat. So tell me a little of how CASH, which stands for Creative Arkansas Community Hub and Exchange, how did they help you initially? And what's your partnership like now?
So we applied for the Creative Exchange Grant last year and were gratefully awarded that grant. So we were able to kind of introduce the community to what we were doing. We had a little launch party, and it was where we got to have all of our artists perform, as well as just give information on what was to come in 2022. And so that was really, really helpful because we wanted to do something that was literally about bringing the community together, because that's what we're really about at the end of the day, is like contributing to the growing music ecosystem here in any way that we can. So we wanted to involve the people that live here and let them know, hey, this is what's coming. If you have beats, if you're a musician, if you're a singer, we want to work with you. We want you to be a part of this as well. So CASH was really, really helpful in allowing us to do that. And I will say, like, the launch party day, they were, like, extremely helpful and extremely, like, adaptable to whatever we needed. Like, I remember one time we walked in there, and it was like the tables were like a little shorter than I wanted them to be. And I really didn't even say anything. But one of the ladies that works there, she was like, was this the right thing? And I was like, no. And she was like, bet, we're going to like fix it. And they literally just did it without complaining or anything. The sound people there were super helpful, and like when there was like a little blip in the sound checks and things like that, they took the time to like really figure out and make sure we had the best quality everything. So it was great. It was a great experience. It made us look great to the public. So 10 out of 10. And they also offer really great resources like workshops and classes and things like that that have also been really great. So
those are things that you take and sometimes that your artists take?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. So. So that was kind of like a springboard for the beginning of it then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it enabled us to basically launch properly. I mean, we had Noel Sosa from 105.5, the vibe there. We had the Music Education Initiative there. We had a lot of our supporters come there, and where we had open bar and food, and we had everything that, you know, we really set it up right to be able to launch with the right energy. We captured it on video, which was valuable to us now because we go back and look at it. We took photos from that day. So it was a lot of benefits to just being able to have the opportunity to be supported in that launch.
Definitely. So. So how did you come about finding your first, you said five artists that mm-hmm. you represent?
Yep. So we had been doing a lot of research around the artist and the music situation here in Northwest Arkansas, just like going to shows constantly, reading the news, seeing who's popping around here. And on top of that, I had a lot of friends that were artists that I was like, oh, you know. So we also went out of state and looked at other people too as well. We went down to Southern Arkansas to see what they had. So it was a really long and almost kind of stressful process to research and meet with people and talk with them and figure out where they were and if they were interested at all. And we came to these five that we have now. I mean, Bang and Coco and all of them, none of them came to us. We actually came to them. Gotcha. And it was a situation where it was like, we see you and we want to support you and help you. If you want to, great. If not, we still support you. So that's kind of how that whole
yeah. And thing I think went. One of the things with, we did get the best in the region, in our opinion. They yeah. are the
they
best.
Are
the
they are pretty dope. They are pretty cool.
But I mean, the one thing I think was really interesting about all of these artists is they were doing great music and they had great shows. But when we went online to look at the movement behind them, like seeing the streams and the activity was low. I mean, like some of them had like less than, you know, 500 listeners on some of their music. And we were like, oh, man, we got to change that because they're so good. And so it was a combination of their talent, their live talent, just seeing that they needed some support, you know, because that was a big part, is knowing that we could help them. You know, they weren't above what we could bring to the table at this point as a startup label, you know. So I mean to tell you, the growth from the time we started to now, I mean, they've opened up national shows at the Momentary. They've mm-hmm. been in other states, and the new music they were working on now, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a minute, but we're starting to see it build. We're yeah. starting to see it grow, and these artists have just fit right in. We've had shows out of state, and they have went in there and killed it, representing Arkansas full, you know, wholeheartedly.
That's wonderful. And so that's a big part of what you do, is help them with publicity and booking events and stuff like that?
Yes. Yeah, so we identify ourselves as a full scope label, meaning that, like, we offer anything that they need to, like, elevate their career, we do that. So that includes, like you mentioned, booking, the distribution, the recording process, so mixing, mastering, songwriting sessions, listening sessions, just the publicity in general, PR relations, getting a show together, so, like, artist development, touring, like, literally anything that they need, we kind of handle.
Yeah, we're like the fifth band member or the band member in the band.
Yeah.
Because in this new music industry, again, it's a lot of independent mindset that is being given to these artists. So more than us being this separate entity, it's like we sit down with each one of the artists and go, well, what do you need right now? And then if they're like a music video, then we're about the business of figuring out how we're going to get that done. And then on top of that, we're doing the things that we're doing as far as marketing and promoting. And
strategizing.
Strategizing.
Pretty much everything that we do has an end goal, and it's very, very detailed and very calculated. Because a lot of the times what happens, especially in this like DIY kind of industry, is people are like, all right, I'm going to record a song, I'm going to make a cute little cover for it, and I'm going to put it on Spotify, and that's it. And they don't get any exposure or any feedback from it. So we have, like, a full scope plan of, okay, so this is how we're going to do a rollout. This is how you're going to expose a song initially. This is how you're going to get it, crowd interaction with it. I don't know, marketing, yeah. Different things like that to just make sure that the release itself, whether it be a single or a full scope album, is successful. Because you have to have a plan. You can't just put stuff up there and hope for the best. So,
now, did you learn some of this while you were in school? Are you still in school?
Yes, I am. I'm currently a senior at U of A. I did learn a lot at school. I actually was part of the student-run record label there called Hill Records. I learned a lot about just the record label industry. That's actually kind of what, like, launched me to do Love More, really. Learning a lot about that process. I just took a bunch of little classes. I'm a marketing major, so I'm not a music major, unfortunately, but I got to take a bunch of classes that, like, learned about the history of music and, like, the different legal aspects of the business. So, oh yeah, school's taught me a lot.
Well, but in her case, also, she's you know, 10 years in as an entrepreneur, because she's been a professional DJ since
I've learned a lot from that too.
And since like, you know, middle school, she was literally DJing like middle school dances when she was like their age.
I love
for
that.
Her peers.
That's so cute.
And so she has been into promoting and marketing her own stuff for a long time. So the school helped. It just really enhanced what she already knew, mm-hmm. Pieces of what she already knew. But, I mean, we had been working on her career for long before she had gotten to Hill Records and the UA.
Okay, so I have to ask, your first gig as a DJ, what did you feel really strong about playing?
Oh, my gosh. My first gig, it's kind of crazy to think about it. My first gig ever was a fire prevention week and end-of-the-week party situation at the local fire station in my town.
That's cute.
It was super, I was like 11 years old. I had a little iPad that had a DJing app on it. So I was like learning how to mix by just like, you know, Gen Z-er things. And I was a huge, I still am a huge electronic music fan. So I was really pulled towards that. So I wanted to play that, but I was always nervous because I don't think electronic music is as mainstream as I thought it was at the time. So I just kind of stuck to like more like top 40 kind of vibes. And I'm definitely I've grown more into that love of the EDM electronic community since. And that's kind of what I play a majority of the time. Gotcha. So
that's an understatement. She more than loves EDM.
Yeah, I am EDM. No, she
is. That's an understatement. But so I mean, all the way back from those times, just the first gigs, really, we fell into it, actually, the way that she ended up DJing. I was emceeing an event, because I do event promotion and all that kind of stuff. And she was just with me there. And we were actually around a lot of people. It was actually,
It was softball. It's a long story.
We got different ideas on what the first gig was, because some of them, the first gig wasn't paid. You know, but the one that she's talking about was the first paid gig. But the one where she actually DJed for the very first time, like when I actually called her DJ Raquel, was we were at a Susan G. Coleman thing in downtown Little Rock.
No, that was. The first ever?
I got pictures.
No, that wasn't the first ever.
Okay.
I'll let you.
So anyway, we were at this event, and it was thousands of people, and I'm emceeing with the fire department there at that, because I was involved working for the city at the time. And I was emceeing, and then there was a backlog. So it was like all of these people ended up getting stopped right in front of us. And so I'm trying to talk and, you know, promote the fire truck and all this stuff. And I was like, you know, Raquel, play this music for me. And I'm thinking I'm going to have to tell her every song to play. Next thing you know, she's got this group of people, thousands of people in pink, just dancing and having a good time. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What is going on here? So that was one of the starts. She's probably got 15 first events.
That's not she was training on the job long before the paid gigs.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, it seems like the artists that you do have are all over the place in terms of genre, it looks like. So is that from your love of all music, or how does that work? You don't want to stick to one genre to represent.
Yeah, actually, we came into it initially like, we don't want just one type of genre, just because we wanted to. The whole goal and mission of Love More is just love at the end of the day, and love for people and love for the different quirks and things that we all possess. So that includes encompassing all kinds of music and welcoming all kinds of artists. And so like with the artists that we have now, it's another aspect of it was like, you get to the general makeup of it. Like, for example, Bang's fans can know about Coco's fans and vice versa. They can like share fan bases. But just the diversity in itself allows us to be more creative. It allows us to merge genres a lot of time, like Lil Ye, our reggaeton artist, and Headcanon, who are hyperpop and alternative rap. Like, that would be a sick combo, you know? So that's kind of like the reason why we wanted to do that. And it's been a lot of fun. And just to hear the different perspectives from all of their prospective genres has been really helpful in how we build this label. So it's been fun, for sure.
And GT, what did you play while she was growing up?
So I am a professional drummer. I was going to say was, but I'm a drummer. Was a touring drummer, played for a band called The 17th Floor for years, which ended up being a national touring band. And then I also was music director and drummer for Usher, and music director and drummer for TLC, and was part of their artist development, and, you know, over the years, and making sure that they were what they were. And so, yeah, just played drums for years and years and years. So
very neat. I was told that you were you singing in the delivery room when she was born?
No, I wasn't singing, though.
Not singing?
No, but we played Isn't She Lovely when she was born. So she, gotcha. She came in the world with that song on. And, you know, she's been a daddy's girl forever. I mean, she's tough, though. She's real tough, but she's a daddy's girl.
So safe to say music has been a part of your family.
Yes.
Forever.
Man, like, from birth, obviously, like, literally, but even, like, my mom used to listen to, like, calming music when she was pregnant with me. And, like, my dad's side specifically, like, they're super musically inclined, like, burst into random perfect harmonies at family reunions. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to sit this one out because I cannot sing that well. But my little brother, who is 10 currently, he wants to be a rapper when he grows up. And he writes raps, but he also drums. He makes beats. So
plays bass guitar.
Yeah.
Bass and
just
guitar.
Just regular guitar.
Making MPs, producing beats. Yeah. And he just, that's... Like, most kids are playing with toys. This kid is running around the house playing instruments and
yep.
keyboards. And
yep.
And his music taste is just like when Raquel was growing up. I mean, he's listening to everything from the Beatles to...
Korn
to Coldplay yeah. to Fleetwood Mac.
Juice World.
I love
him. So, yeah. Literally all
And he's at the
place.
Arkansas Arts Academy now. So,
oh, very good.
So we're hoping that we can... develop him too.
Yeah.
And he's confident he'll get a spot at Sister's label, right?
He has been pitching to me for about 2 years now. So, you know, he really wants to get in he wanted to DJ with me. Mm-hmm. And I tried to teach him, didn't want to do it. When I started Love More, he was like, okay, so what do I need to do to get on the label? I was like, okay, little brother, chill out. Like, maybe 10 years you can work, you know, we'll work on something. Yeah. But right. Yeah.
But everybody says, I mean, that kid is going to be the, like, some sort of genius because he's just really unique. And the one thing about him, Raquel got me a book on Prince for Christmas. And I was reading that book and I was like, oh my God, you know, this is a really interesting book. And then it showed back to, like, Prince's fourth grade report card. And I'm telling you, it was like verbatim what they said about Prince in fourth grade is the exact same thing they said about my son.
You're raising the
in
next
fourth
Prince.
Grade. I'm like, oh
that's
my
amazing.
Goodness. I was like, maybe I should really encourage. And I showed him. I said, man, look, this is what they're saying about Prince, man. This is what they're saying about you. And he was like, wow. So I'm like Prince? I'm like, no, that's not what I'm saying.
So the point. You're like you, you know? So you should be you.
We're
awesome.
Pretty hardcore in our house, too.
Yeah.
We're
pretty
really
intense.
Yeah, we're intense.
Sounds like it. Well, what's one of the coolest things that your artists have been able to do or been invited to since you got started?
Oh, man. So a majority of them have been able to open for national acts that came to, like, the Momentary. We've gotten to go to things like Crystal Bridges as well. I'll say, like, Coco, she was able to open up for Japanese Breakfast last year. Bang opened up for Big Boy and Run the Jewels. It was just, like, it was just really surreal to be, like, offered those things.
And I got to tell you, I think we cannot go without, like, really expressing appreciation for the Momentary doing
yeah.
that and the value that brings to the table when you're supporting local acts like that, putting them on those national shows. That means a lot for the mm-hmm. region to see, you know, you got, you know, a few thousand people out there coming to see Big Boy, but they see a guy that's in their backyard, mm-hmm. you know, going that show before them. So we're really grateful to them for, you know, taking a chance on the local artists. We hope there's a lot more of that going on in the region this year. We're going to support that and push that.
Yeah.
Right. And speaking of, what are some of your goals for this year?
Well, something really exciting that we're working on is obviously the music. They're all currently working on writing and recording and mixing and all those fun things. So we're hoping to really kind of see some, like, late spring, early summer releases and shows and touring. And so just all of the things involved in a music career, just making that grow and just vibe out and develop their fan bases. That's something I'm personally excited about because I'm a marketing fiend. I love all of that. So I'm really pumped to see what they create and how it comes out to the public. So
I'm really excited to see the partnerships grow in the region because, yeah. I mean, we're going to step out here and lean on people because we were talking about this and we said, well, when was the last time that there was a national artist from Arkansas that has made it to mainstream music? And we went back to Evanescence. I mean, you got Justin Moore, I think is, mm-hmm. yeah, you got a few. Mm-hmm. But I mean, out of all the music out here in the world, to have less than five artists in the last 10 years that have come out of Arkansas, that's a little bad
that's
odds.
Crazy.
Right.
So I think aligning the support and getting people to go, hey, you know what, it's time. We need to be able to build some recorded music industry out of Arkansas. And so I'm really excited to reach out to partners and see the people that will align and help us and be part of our new team, support team going forward. So,
and the issue is not that, like, the talent or the any of that isn't here. We just need to work together to build that foundation where creatives can successfully live off being creative and having a career in their dreams and passions. So that's something that we are passionate about and are ready to work on, and partners that we've already established are as well. So,
and just one more thing on that. I think that what's interesting is there's a lot of opportunity for artists that are up and coming, you know, brand new. It's a whole bunch of that type of thing. But as far as advancing artists to the next level, I mean, it's one thing to go, hey, this is your first time playing banjo. We're going to let you play at this event. It's one thing to do that. It's another thing to elevate them to a national standard. Mm-hmm. Because, again, if we have four or five national artists that come out of this region, what that means to the rest of the world is what's going on in Northwest Arkansas that these artists have now come out to the world, and we had no idea what was happening in Arkansas.
Because
everybody's perception of Arkansas is banjos and razorbacks, you know. I mean, that's the truth. That's just, unfortunately, that's the truth. But we all know, all of us that live here, is so much more. And they all know when they come here, they see that it's so much more mm-hmm. to Northwest Arkansas. We heard it at Format. Everybody on stage was like, oh, my God, I didn't know
what?
Arkansas was doing this, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we look forward to, you know, just building those relationships and just expanding and just breaking out some artists out of Northwest Arkansas and Arkansas in general.
Absolutely. Well, I have just a couple more questions before I let you go today. Mm-hmm. But one thing I'm wondering is what you're currently listening to in your earbuds, just for fun.
Oh, man. I'm kind of embarrassed. I'm a huge house music head. I am obsessed with it. I love it. I feel like it just feeds the soul. So I've been listening to, I'll say artists, like a lot of Disco Lines, Camouflage. I really like Salute. I really like more like the bass kind of guys. I like Jaws. I like Space Laces. I'm also a dubstep person. That was like my first. I know it's embarrassing. I know. But I've been obsessed with Skrillex's new songs. I'm like gonna empty my bank account when he goes on tour. So super.
She thinks she's gonna do that.
I will. I promise you, I will.
Okay,
where I gotta fly, I will be there. So I also love all kinds of music. Genuinely, I love rap. I love R&B. I've been enjoying SZA's new album. So I love Kali Uchis. She's like my queen.
Yes.
Obsessed with her. It's all kinds of stuff, man. I wish I could just like open my phone and read it to you, but I'm like,
you'll have to make a playlist.
Oh,
for
I
us.
Will. I will.
Yeah, she puts playlist stuff on her Instagram all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so you get a chance to see what she's actually listening to.
Mm-hmm. I actually did that on Monday. I did what I'm listening to. So
all right.
If you want to follow me.
And then she does some mixes on SoundCloud.
Yeah, I just, man,
it's kind of embarrassing. I've been DJing for 10 years, and I just started making mixes because I had a lot of people that were coming up to me like, yo, man, do you have an online presence? And I'm like, no. So I'm starting to get that up, but I just released another mix of just house music last Friday, and I'm dropping another one this Friday, so if y'all watch,
be on the lookout.
So she's doing that. I'm currently listening to all the Love More artists. I'm listening to Bang. I'm listening to Head Cannon. I'm listening to Ye. I'm listening to Coco. I'm listening to Sarah. I'm listening to everybody right now because as we start to work on new music, I'm going back and going, well, what did we do and what did we miss and where were they really at during this grind that they've been doing for the last few years? And some of them have grown so much since the music that they released on Spotify that it's like really exciting to see where we're going next, because we get a preview of that because we both listen to all of their music, the new music, but nobody else knows that music right now, so it's really exciting to see where they're going.
So if someone wants to listen to them, where should they go?
Well, they're all on Spotify. Basically, anywhere you're listening to music, they are available on there. If you go on our Instagram, at Love More Records, you can find all of them on there as well and kind of see what they're posting and doing on the socials. They all have YouTubes. So pretty much anywhere you can listen to music, that's where they are.
Great. But also a great place to go to see all of them and get videos and everything is just the website, lovemorerecords.com.
Okay.
I mean, everything is on that site. I mean, Bang's Velocity video, Coco's
Ladybug
video is on there. There's some videos. We've actually played one on 101.5, The Vibe. We've had music on that station. And we've got videos, clips of when the music first played on there. So, I mean, it's Instagram access. Everything is accessible from the website, though. So, lovemorerecords.com.
Okay.
Spelt the way that Love More.
Like it sounds.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, is there anything we missed that you wanted to get to about Love More?
No, I guess just stay tuned because a lot of really cool things are coming, and we're really pumped. So, and thank you for having us. We really had a good time on here.
Yeah. I think one thing, in, you know, leaving is, you know, we're working in the community over at the Cash Hub in Bentonville.
Oh, yeah.
And we have basically a little mini pre-production studio over there. Actually, the room we have in the building is, we're using it as an office / rehearsal space / studio.
It's a multi-purpose room.
It is very much multi-purpose. And you know, that community over there is, there's other artists and producers in that building. And I just, you know, shout out to The Growth and to Cash for supporting them and people like the Music Education Initiative and things of that nature. So I'm loving to see where Cash is going because I remember when they started here. So seeing the growth is amazing. And I look forward to see how Cash supports us coming into the next year. Yeah. So
I mean, they've been so supportive of not just us, but just creatives and just cultivating that in general. So, like, very thankful to them, genuinely.
Yeah. That's a good thing for the region. And everybody should support them as well. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you both. It was a pleasure to speak with you, and best of luck this year with your artists.
Thank you.
Thank you.